Welcome, everyone, to a brand new edition of Learn About World Cuisine, the show that takes you on a culinary tour around the world. Today's topic will be fun, mind-blowing facts about Tuscany, Italy. And then at the end of the program, we're going to talk about Italian cuisine. Now, I want everyone, my Italian shows are one of my most downloaded shows. So I have a few shows covering Italy on the podcast platform. Check your favorite podcast platforms, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. I've done Italy and Italian food a couple times, but this is about Tuscany, Italy. And let's get started. Tuscany is a region in central Italy, and the capital of the region is Florence. Tuscany is known for its landscapes, history, artistic legacy, and its influence on high culture. You might know Tuscany for being the home of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And we're going to give you a fun fact later in the show that's going to blow your mind in reference to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Tuscany is roughly 8,900 square miles. The population of Tuscany in 2023 is just under 4 million people. What kind of government do they have in Tuscany, Italy? The government type is a president council government. Tuscany is the second most popular region in Italy for travelers, Veneto being the first. Okay, and you're going to learn when I do the food section that Tuscany is one of the favorite spots in Italy for people that love food. Tuscany is the perfect destination for history buffs and people that love food. Tuscany is the birthplace of the Italian Renaissance. And you might know my wine lovers are going to love this episode because this episode is going to cover a lot of fun facts about wine and the Tuscany region of Italy. But the world famous Chianti wine is made in Tuscany. And so that makes Tuscany, Italy, a must-visit for wine lovers. Florence is the capital of Tuscany, and that is especially known for its art. And there are artworks in Tuscany, in Florence, from famous artists such as Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci. The coastline in Tuscany is one of the best beach areas in the entire world. And it is a sought-after beach destination for beach lovers around the world. The countryside of Tuscany is known for its rolling hills and vibrant vineyards. And we're going to talk about the wine in the food section. We're going to be talking about Italian food in a few minutes. But we're especially going to focus on the wine and how Tuscany is world famous for their vineyards and wine. Olive oil from Tuscany is world renowned. And some people say that the olive oil from the Tuscany region of Italy is some of the best you'll ever find in the world. Tuscany is also known, if you talk to world travelers, they have some festivals every year that are yearly festivals, and they are well known for those amazing festivals that are held. So if you're listening to this show anywhere in the world, and you're listening to this episode because you want to take a trip to Tuscany, or you are taking a trip to Tuscany, look up the festivals. They have yearly festivals that are world famous, and try to go during that time. The Florence Cathedral is another well-known landmark in Tuscany. Springtime, especially April to June, is what world travelers recommend traveling to Tuscany. okay, because of the weather, the scenery, and the pricing. World travelers recommend that you go to Tuscany in the springtime, April to June. Now, here's a fun fact, and I want you guys to stump your family and coworkers with this fun fact. Pinocchio, the famous children's story Pinocchio, was created by a writer who grew up in Tuscany. And the scenery and the backdrop for the story Pinocchio is based upon him growing up in the Tuscany region of Italy. Did you know that the story of Pinocchio was written all the way back in 1883? Who would have known? But the story Pinocchio was written by a writer who grew up in Tuscany, and he based some of the story on his childhood. The first paved roads. How about this? This is awesome. The first paved roads in all of Europe were in the Tuscany region of Italy. You can also find a desert in Tuscany. So you can actually find a desert and snow in Tuscany. We're going to talk more. I'm going to touch a little bit on the food, but I have an incredible Italian food section at the end of this episode. But we're going to touch here and there on the food, okay? But Tuscany, like I said before, is world famous for their wine. Tuscany is one of the best places to eat in all of Italy. And they are especially known for their meat. So one of the world travelers, I was reading their blog, and they said, if you're a meat lover, you have to go to Tuscany. They are world renowned for their meat. And he was making a joke about vegetarians missing out. Tuscany was the first place in the entire world to abolish the death penalty all the way back in 1786. The famous astronomer Galileo was from Tuscany. Okay. Tuscany is known for its beautiful scenery. So there have been a lot of movies filmed in Tuscany. There has been a James Bond movie and a Gladiator movie, just to name two. But there have been many, many, many movies filmed in Tuscany. And that is because of the beautiful landscape. A lot of people might not like this, but most of the beaches in Tuscany are private beaches. All right, so we did have some world travelers, I was reading their blogs, that were complaining that there are a lot of beaches in Tuscany. Because keep in mind, I told you, the coastline of Tuscany is gorgeous. It has some of the best beaches in the world. But a lot of those beaches are private. The famous artist Michelangelo was born in Tuscany. Here's a fun fact. Opera was born in Tuscany. Tuscany is also world famous for their incredible art scene. Who would have known that Tuscany is famous for the celebrities that both live there and the celebrities that vacation there? So like I said, Tuscany is one of the most famous spots in the world for travelers. And they are known for the celebrities that live there, okay, and the celebrities that vacation there, okay? So, Giorgio Armani and Sting live in Tuscany. Leonardo da Vinci is another famous person who was from Tuscany. I just said that as if Leonardo da Vinci is still alive. right, so let me go through the notes real quick. So there are a lot of celebrities that both vacation and have a home in Tuscany. It's actually famous for the people that vacation and own homes in Tuscany. Sting, Giorgio Armani. Now, the next line of the notes says Leonardo da Vinci was from Tuscany. So I'm not, I said it as if he was still alive and hanging out in Tuscany. There's an interesting historical fact. Here's a fun fact. I was actually surprised by this. The Black Plague killed 70%. Yeah, you heard me right. 70% of the people in Tuscany in the year 1348. So I'm going to say this again. They had a Black Plague, and it killed 70%. Wow, it killed 7 out of 10 people in Tuscany all the way back in the year 1348. People from Tuscany define themselves as being Tuscan more so than being Italian. I found that interesting. Tuscany also has one of the largest Chinese communities. So a lot of Chinese immigrants, our good friends, have gone to Europe, and they have gone to Tuscany. And Tuscany has one of the largest Chinese communities in all of Europe. In most regions of Italy, people call their father Papa. But in Tuscany, people call their father Babbo. Okay. Tuscan bread is made without salt. Here's a fun fact. And you guys are well, you're allowed to the highest degree to stump your friends at work with this fun fact. Tuscan bread is made without salt. Now, there are several reasons why they say Tuscan bread is made without salt. One of the reasons is that at one time, salt was very heavily taxed. So the bakers of bread said, you know what? We're going to make the bread without salt. And to this day, Tuscan bread is made without salt. Some people say that the Italian dessert, gelato, and if you haven't had gelato, you are missing out. It is delicious. Was invented in Tuscany. So they're saying that gelato was invented in Tuscany. Panzanella salad is a Tuscan dish. And like I said, I don't want to keep saying this. We had a complaint on iTunes that somebody said I repeat things way too many times. So just so everyone knows, if you want to go and support the show, the best way to do it is to go to iTunes and leave us a good review. Because we had somebody who was not very nice leave a review on iTunes saying I repeat things too many times. Here's another fun fact. Did you know that there are actually three different Leaning Towers of Pisa? As I mentioned earlier, Tuscany is famous for the world-famous Leaning Tower of Pisa. But did you know that there are three Leaning Towers in Tuscany? If you like to look at very well-conditioned castles, and there, you know, this sounds crazy, but there are people that love to go to different countries to look at the castles. And we covered a few shows about a few places around the world where castles are a big deal. And Tuscany is famous for having very well-conditioned castles. It's famous for Vespas. Italy is famous for Vespas. People ride around in those little, scooter-type things. And Vespas are made in Tuscany. Here's something that you don't think of. And that's why people love this show. I point out things that you might not know about locations around the world. And I didn't know this, and I find this fascinating. Roughly one-third of all leather produced in Italy is from Tuscany. So leather, one-third of all the leather produced in Italy is made in Tuscany. If you're looking for a comparison, how big is Tuscany? Kevin, how big is it? I know you said the square mileage, but I mean, I don't know what that means. So if you're trying to do a comparison, Tuscany is about the same size as Israel or New Jersey in the United States. But they have much but New Jersey and Israel have less people. So Tuscany is about the same size as Israel or New Jersey in the United States. All right. At one time, Tuscany was the capital of the country of Italy. And then as the years went on, they switched it to Rome. So Rome is the current day capital of Italy. But Tuscany at one time was the capital of Italy. If you are into collecting postage stamps, some of the most valuable stamps that you can collect were made in Tuscany between 1851 and 1860. Tuscany is also rich in minerals such as iron, copper, and mercury. What drives the economy in Tuscany? You're probably sitting there, you're probably saying to yourselves, well, what drives the economy? How come the economy is pretty good over there? The fashion and textile industries are crucial to the economy in Tuscany. Tuscany is the third. Here's a fun fact. Here's what I want you to do. I want everyone to go to work tomorrow, and as you're grabbing a coffee, anybody you see near the coffee maker, I want you to give them this fun fact. Tuscany is the third largest producer of clothing in the entire world. China and Japan are first and second. Tuscany is the third largest producer of clothing in the entire world. 93% of the residents of Tuscany are Italian. But as I mentioned earlier, the Chinese community in Tuscany is one of the largest in all of Europe. All right, I want everyone to give themselves a round of applause. We have pretty much given you all the fun facts about Tuscany, the region of Italy. The remainder of the show is going to be for our food fans. And keep in mind, on your favorite podcast platform, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, I've done a few Italy shows, and they are my most downloaded shows. So I've covered Italy, and I've covered other areas of Italy, and they are my most downloaded shows. So I have several shows about Italy on the podcast platform. Just go to your favorite podcast platform and put in Learn About World Cuisine and subscribe to the show. At the end of each show, now somebody said I was trying to brag. At the end of each show, I teach you how to listen to the show. And I do that every week so that the new listeners, because we get a lot of new listeners, can see how to listen to the show. So you'll hear all that at the end. I do not take up a lot of your time with promotion. So let's keep going. The remainder of this episode will be nothing but food, Italian food. And it's not just going to be food from Tuscany. It's going to be fun facts about Italian food in general. Rice, pasta, oranges, and fruit sorbets were first introduced in Italy by the Arabs back in the 14th century. How about that? The word pesto translates to mean to crush. So T-O, crush. That is what pesto translates to in Italian. Keep in mind, these are fun facts about Italian food and not just the region of Tuscany. The creation of Italian food dates back to the fall of the Western Roman Empire. Wow. Cleaning your plate after a meal with a piece of bread is considered a compliment to the chef or the cook. And it tells your host that you enjoyed your meal. So you now I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes, but in Italy, the bread is served with the meal. It's not served first. They don't give you bread and butter. Your bread is served with your meal. So if you're eating your meal and you're, you know, wiping up the sauce with the bread, that is considered a compliment. Dinner is the most important meal in Italy. The Italian culture is obsessed with digestion. I found this interesting. So it is frowned upon to drink any beverage with milk after 11 a.m. In Italy, walking while you're eating is the ultimate insult. So if somebody makes you a pizza, a slice of pizza, or if they make you anything, and you use it to eat while walking down the street, that is considered an insult in Italy. It's telling them that you didn't like the food enough to pay attention. They take their food very seriously in Italy. So don't be surprised if you're in Italy and you go to an Italian pizza place and they don't even offer slices with pineapple. I don't know why I think that's funny, but that's what was actually in the research. So they take their food very seriously in Italy, so you're not going to get this crazy toppings on pizza and stuff like that. So if you go to a pizza shop in Italy, don't be surprised if they don't have pineapple on top of pizza and they think get insulted if you ask them for it. They consider Tuscany to be the most important wine-growing region in Italy. Carbonara originated in Rome. So Carbonara originated in Rome. Osso buco translates to bone with a hole. How about that? Everybody loves a good osso buco, and that translates to bone with a hole. The reason that Parmesan cheese is often said to be Parmigiano Reggiano is because it is produced in the region of Reggio Emilia, Parma, and Modena. So a lot of times you'll hear Parmesan cheese being referred to as Parmigiano Reggiano, and that is because of the place it is made. Now, before the two world wars, pasta was reserved only for special occasions. So before the two world wars broke out, World War I and World War II, pasta was only served on special occasions. But after the two world wars, pasta became an everyday food. There's actually a museum in Rome specifically dedicated to pasta. Manicotti is called cannelloni in Italy. Cannoli was invented in Sicily for their carnival celebrations. So everybody loves a good cannoli. And they were invented in Sicily. How about that? How about that? So I got to get back to my notes here. I hit the wrong button. So you see that little pause? That was because my fat finger hit the wrong button. Okay. There we go. All right. Gelato translates to as frozen. And there is a huge gelato celebration every year in Florence, Italy. So we were just talking about Tuscany. Florence is the capital. They have a huge gelato celebration every year. So that might be something you want to look into if you're traveling to the area. Tomato sauce was first referenced in a cookbook in the year 1692. Who would have thought that? So tomato sauce was first mentioned in a cookbook all the way back in 1692. Wow. Bolognese translates to with meat. The largest importer of olive oil, the people that are getting the most olive oil from Italy, is the United States. So Italy is shipping more olive oil to the United States than any other place in the entire world. Italy is the world's second largest producer of olive oil in the entire world. Who would have thought that Spain is the largest producer of olive oil in the world? Italians typically don't eat round pizza. The pizza over in Italy is thick. And I'm going to get to this fun fact. It's down a few lines of my notes, but I'm going to talk about it now. In Italy, pizza is simple. So we joked about pineapple on pizza and even pepperoni on pizza. The majority of pizza in Italy is regular sauce and cheese. So I thought that was interesting. Espresso was invented in Italy. Limoncello is a popular alcohol drink in Italy. It's made with vodka. Italy is the world's leading producer of wine. The preferred way that our great friends in Italy love to eat their pasta is al dente. Some people don't like al dente because they think it doesn't taste like it's fully cooked. But al dente is the way that Italians prefer their pasta. There are literally over 600 shapes of pasta. The average Italian eats roughly 60 pounds of pasta every year. Forks are the preferred way to eat pasta in Italy. They rarely, if ever, use a spoon. Italian people do not believe you should use cheese on anything with seafood. So there's a lot of dishes that have seafood and pasta mixed with sauce. They don't believe you should put cheese on any food item that has seafood. Now, I was surprised to learn that spaghetti and meatballs is not an authentic Italian dish. That was Americanized. So a lot of people associate spaghetti and meatballs with Italy. That is actually the Americanized Italian food. Spaghetti and meatballs is not authentically from Italy. Fettuccine Alfredo started in New York. How about that? A lot of people, I'll bet you if I went down the street and I interviewed 10 people, a lot of them would think that fettuccine Alfredo was an authentic Italian dish. It wasn't. It was started in New York during the 1970s. Garlic bread is more of an Americanized thing. It's not a part of authentic Italian food. The Italians actually eat regular bread. They don't eat garlic bread. Garlic bread is an Americanized thing. Garlic bread is not a thing in Italy. The pizza in Italy, like I said, it's more plain. You're not getting the crazy toppings that you get in the United States. Margherita pizza has a fun story behind it. The Queen Margherita was making a royal visit. So the chef wanted to showcase and show off for Queen Margherita. So he created a pizza that has the colors of the Italian flag. And that is how Margherita pizza was invented. Pizza is more individualized in Italy, okay? It's not so much a large group of people buying pizza. It's a lot of individual things. And what I found interesting is in Italy, authentic pizza places do not slice the pizza before it comes to the table. How about that? I thought that was fun. A fun fact. They do not slice the The whole pies you order at a pizza shop in Italy are not sliced. You pretty much do it yourself at the table. Now, here's something. If you want to comment on the show, just go to my website, PhillyRestaurantReviews.com, and send me a note. The first page of my website, you can make comments about the show, etc. Because I just heard that there is fried pizza in Naples. I would love to know what in the world is a fried pizza. That sounds so good. But people in Naples are eating fried pizza. So our friends in Naples, we got a lot of listeners in Italy. I would like to know what is fried pizza, and it sounds delicious. Marinara pizza is said to have been created. So a pizza with marinara sauce is said to have been created by a wife of a fisherman who created it especially for her husband. Pizza dates back centuries. And the first pizzas were actually flatbreads. So flatbread was the original pizza. And that was eaten for centuries. And then that evolved into current day pizza. I've said this on so many shows, I'm getting a little bit worn out from it. But Caesar salad was created by an Italian chef, but he created it in Mexico. So an Italian chef living in Mexico created Caesar salad. So it wasn't created in Italy. Like I said earlier, rather than a starter, bread accompanies the meal in Italy. Risotto was created in northern Italy. Oh, also, here's a fun fact. Ice, if you get a glass of water at a restaurant in Italy, it's served at room temperature. So if you want ice with your water at the table, you have to ask for it. Most waters that are served at restaurants are served room temperature. Venice, Italy was home to the first coffee house in Italy. In Italy, as well as other countries around the world, they serve water with your coffee. What? What? In Italy, as well as other countries around the world, water is served with your coffee. So if you get a coffee at a coffee shop, they'll serve it with a glass of water. And that is so you can sip the water to cleanse your palate before you drink your coffee. Coffee bars in Italy go from serving coffee in the morning, and then it evolves as the day goes on, so they'll have adult drinks at night. So it'll start with coffee and tea, and then it'll eventually get up to adult beverages. The size of a coffee in Italy is actually small. There isn't this multiple choice size coffees in Italy. It's pretty much all a compact cup of coffee. Italy has over 450 types of cheese. Mozzarella cheese is made with buffalo milk. There are many olive oil tasting tours in Italy. That sounds interesting. So in Italy, you can go on an olive oil tasting tour. Tiramisu translates to the words pick me up, and tiramisu became popular during the 1970s. Panettone bread originates in Milan, Italy. So panettone originated in Milan. Fresh pasta is very popular in the northern section of Italy. Stuffed pasta, like ravioli, is popular in northern parts of Italy. Italians celebrate the Feast of the Seven Fishes on Christmas Eve. Now, one thing I want to tell you about the show, if in case you can't stick around to the end, I try to make all shows under 40 minutes. And that is because I feel that a podcast that is an hour long is way too long. So we are entering minute number 35. So we're going to start going rapid fire here because I'd like to keep all my episodes under 40 minutes. Many people believe that Marco Polo brought pasta back from China. That's why there's a controversy, actually, with people saying that pasta is from China. And that's because a lot of people say that Marco Polo brought pasta to Italy from China. The main meal in Italy is served at lunch or dinner and is usually brought in several courses. Pasta is served as the first course in Italy. But keep in mind, the pasta portions at restaurants in Italy is much smaller than in places such as the United States. Meat, poultry, and fish are usually served as the second course in Italy, and that is known as the main course. Dolce or sweets are usually served last in Italy, and the Italians like to drink coffee at dessert, with their dessert. Okay, listen, I want everyone to give themselves a round of applause. We are on minute number 36, and this show, I think we did a great job. We gave you all the fun facts about Tuscany, Italy, and then we gave you some fun facts about Italian food. But as I said earlier, go to your favorite podcast platforms, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and I've done several episodes about Italy and different parts of Italy, and they are my most downloaded shows. So if you love this episode of Italy, Tuscany, Italy, look on the podcast platform. I've covered several other areas of Italy. So if you're one of my regular listeners, because we get people that listen every week, I will talk to you next week, next Thursday. If you're one of my new listeners, because we had 70% of the listeners last week were brand new, follow me on TikTok. Learn about world cuisine. I'm getting a lot of new listeners from TikTok. So just go to TikTok and follow Learn About World Cuisine. I post videos there about 5 days a week and promoting the show, and I've gotten a lot of new listeners from TikTok. So my regular listeners, I'll talk to you next Thursday morning. The new listeners, I want to teach you how to find the show because we're getting a lot of new listeners. So the first way to listen to the show is you can go to your favorite podcast platform, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, search for Learn About World Cuisine, and subscribe to the show. What does subscribing to the show mean? Subscribing to the show means you'll get a text message every time I put out a new episode. Now, if you have a smart home device, such as an Alexa or a Siri or whatever, you can ask it to play the Learn About World Cuisine podcast, and it will play it. Just say, blank, play the latest episode of Learn About World Cuisine, and your smart home device will play the latest episode. If you want to bypass all that, because I got to be honest with you, I get people coming up to me all the time saying, hey, Kevin, check out my podcast. I've even had people hand me business cards, which I thought was hysterical. I don't like searching for anything. I think that's doing work. So I don't like finding people's shows. So the way you can listen to all 188 episodes of this show, just go to my website, PhillyRestaurantReviews.com. And you can send me correspondence right through my website. And you can find a link that'll take you to all 188 past episodes. So my recommendation for the new listeners is just go to my website, PhillyRestaurantReviews.com, and you can find a link to all 188 episodes. We had somebody send me a nasty note from my website saying that for the money you get paid, I want to make it very clear, this show is totally done for fun. It's not a political show. I do it because I enjoy doing the show. Nobody's making money. We're doing this for enjoyment and our own personal knowledge. So I just like to share it with the audience, but nobody's making any money. The best way to support the show is to subscribe to the show. And once again, if you subscribe to the show, you'll get a text message on your phone every time I put out a new episode. But we have a lot of people that actually think this is done for money. They think it's a political show. I want to make it very clear. This show is totally done for fun. I have a lot of fun writing the show. I have a lot of fun doing the show. It's totally done for fun. I did a show that somebody said, "Oh, you're a political show." I said, "This show is done for fun." I've covered North Korea, I've covered Russia, I've covered all the areas around the world. The show is totally done for fun. It's not a political show. I don't talk a lot about the history of the countries because some of that stuff is boring. I only touch on the fun facts of the show. But there's a misconception. I only do the show for fun. Okay, we had a couple comments a couple weeks ago. The show is totally done for fun. If you want to support the show, I don't care about money for the show because I enjoy doing it. Just subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. So that's the best way you can support the show. Easiest way to listen to the show is go to my website, PhillyRestaurantReviews.com, PHILLY, RestaurantReviews.com, and you can find the link to all past episodes. So I want to thank everyone for joining us. Keep in mind, if it's Thursday morning, I've been putting out some shows early in the overnight, and people were not too happy about that. Most shows are published at 6 a.m., but over the last few weeks, I've been recording at like 2 a.m. and putting the show out right away, and people weren't too happy about that. So if it's Thursday morning around 6 a.m., you'll find a new episode. So I want to thank everyone for joining me. I think we did a great job covering Tuscany and Italian food, and I will talk to everyone next Thursday.